Hi, and welcome to the Desert Heights Church Weekly Message. The Gospel of John was written to prove that Jesus is indeed the Messiah, and that those who believe in him will have eternal life. Now let's join Pastor Brent for our verse-by-verse study through the Gospel of John.
We hear more things like, it's okay to be a Christian, just don't talk about it openly. Don't push your Christian faith on others. Now, if they want to talk about their faith, that's perfectly fine. But Christians are pushy. You know what? So you shouldn't be talking about your faith. Don't tell everyone about what you believe in Jesus. And for sure, don't be vocal about your Christian values when it's likely to offend someone without Christian values. In other words, if there's someone who's in the dark and they're banging their head into the wall and just beating their brains out, hey, don't come along and tell them that you know of a way that they can live in the light. Just leave them alone and let them ruin their lives. Because it's more offensive for you to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ than for you to just let people live in the dark. Don't shine your light. Don't make sure you don't shine your light where your light is not wanted. Just to use another verse, just keep that under a bushel, okay? Let's not tell anybody about that. So being the good diplomats that Christians have learned to be, we hold on to our faith very closely. We quietly believe. We trust in the light, and we are very careful to keep it all under the basket so that people will think that we live in the dark along with them. We don't want anybody to know that we're different. We don't want anybody to know that we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ that comes into our lives and transforms us and makes us children of the light, that adopts us into the kingdom of God. We got to be careful because we don't want the powers that be and our friends and the social structure to know that we believe in a living God and forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ. We got to be careful about how much the light shines because we fear the opinion of people. Again, no amens. Please lock the offering boxes. Number three. You would think I'm coming close to an end, but I'm not. All right, number three, don't remain in the dark. Now listen carefully what John transitions here at verse 44, big time, big transition. In fact, most of your Bibles have a paragraph division here where it's changing from one passage to another, and I really think it's distracting to do that because I think it should flow all the way through. So in verse 44, it says, Jesus shouted to the crowds. File that in your brain because we're going to come back to that in a minute. If you trust me, you are trusting not only me, but also God, everyone say God, who sent me. For when you see me, you are seeing the one who sent me, which would be God. So in the previous text, Jesus had disappeared from the crowd. When we ended service last week, the crowd was angry at Jesus again, and Jesus disappeared from the crowd. When we get to this text, it says that Jesus shouted to the crowd. Well, we have a problem, Houston. I got that backwards, didn't I? Houston, Farmington, we have a problem. Because Jesus left the crowd, now he's back in front of a crowd. Now, I assume that Jesus spoke these words at a different time when he was in front of a crowd, but John records them here at this point in his gospel to make a case. Remember, John recorded this. He wrote this gospel. Why? We read it every week. So that you might believe and have eternal life. John did not write this to create a chronological record of the life of Jesus. Let me give you an illustration because I think it needs an illustration. If you were trying to get someone to come to Desert Heights Church, you would pick specific things to tell them to make the case for why they should come with you to Desert Heights Church. You would not say, well, it all began in 2003, March 23rd, I think. We gathered at the Marriott for a series called Why Jesus. It was about who. Are y'all already bored? Yeah, because we don't make our case always historically. We tell the pertinent information, the pertinent facts. If I'm going to take you fishing with me, I tell you I have caught fish here before. I don't tell you the history of the animus. Nobody cares. John is not telling us the history of Jesus. He is telling us a story about Jesus that proves that Jesus is the Son of the living God. Oh! In the event I get raptured before the end of the service, just go ahead and give your tithes and dismiss yourselves. All right? It seems to me that in this text, John is pleading with those who believe. He's pleading with them who believe, who are also attempting to hide that belief. His reasoning that he tells us here, this, the reason for letting your faith out, the reason for showing your faith, living in the light, letting your light shine, the reason for this is that this is bigger than simply believing in a man named Jesus. This is about believing in God. He says, if you trust me, you are trusting not only me, but also God who sent me. When you see me, you also see the one who sent me. You also see God. This is bigger than a man who comes and walks on water and feeds the 5,000. This is bigger than a man named Jesus who's really cool to hang out with and teaches us great things. This is about God. And there's nothing bigger than that. So you're concerned about how people see you. The fact of the matter is that whenever we put our faith in Jesus, we put our faith in God. And then some are worrying about how Jim over here is going to think we're quacky. Do you see the problem with the perception there? Are you more concerned about what God thinks about you or what some person thinks about you? You guys seem to be uncertain about the answer to that. I'm going to go on to verse 46. Here we go. Jesus says, you understand what he's saying, right? Don't remain in the dark. You've seen God. God is in the light. He's brought you into the light. Don't stay in the dark. Verse 46, he says, I'm going to have to start jogging if I'm going to keep up with my preaching. I have come as a light to shine in this dark world. What did Jesus come for? To be a light to shine in this dark world so that all who put their trust in me will no longer remain in the dark. See, I'm real creative with my titles. I take them right out of the text. Jesus did not come covertly to the world. In fact, angels filled up the sky and they sang the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't come covertly. No, Jesus came as a light to shine in the dark world. Jesus came to shine. And the reason that he came to be the light was that so you would not, who? Us, would not remain in the dark. That's the whole purpose of Jesus coming. God is not, God is just very practical this way. Jesus comes in the light to bring us into the light so that we don't have to remain in the dark. Why? Because God loves you. He doesn't want you bouncing around, fumbling around in the darkness. He wants you to live in the light. Why? Because there's good things in the light. We like the light. It's wonderful. But being genius believers that we are now, and we have this all figured out, and now we got to be politically correct, we become believers, but we become quiet believers. Let's not offend anybody. Let's be real quiet. Let's just stay in the shadows, in the dark, and not proclaim our faith because we don't want to offend anyone because, you know, Jesus never offended anybody. Oh, good. You understand I was being sarcastic because some of you are like, no, Jesus never offended anybody. Oh, my gosh, my gosh, my gosh. Read your Bibles. God is very practical. Why live? Remember Jesus says, this is bigger than just believing in a man. Whenever you look on Jesus, when you trust in Jesus, when you see Jesus, you trust in and you see God, the Father. So why live godless when you can believe in Jesus and have God completely present in your life? Why live in the dark when you can live in the light? Why live in the dark when you can be a child of the light? It just doesn't make any sense. Jesus has come so that those of us who put our trust in him will no longer remain in the dark. Can you just get your brain around that for a second? Do you understand what the text is telling us? Instead of hiding in the dark, live openly, boldly in the light. Sunday school, we used to sing, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine," right? And we got it. Maybe we got away from singing the song and we forgot what we were supposed to be doing in this world. We're supposed to be shining the light of Jesus. It also occurred to me this morning, how are we doing? Oh, Lord Jesus, help us. Make the sun stand still. 20 years ago, if I had been preaching something along, this message of live openly, boldly would be applied to something else, right? You know exactly what I'm talking about. It would have been, no, you have the right to live openly however you want. If that's how you feel, just live however you want. 20 years later, Christianity, we're having to call Christianity out. Does that terrify you? Does me? Christianity covered up. Christianity became embarrassed. That's not good. Verse 47. I'm gonna get wound up about something that I just need to keep going forward here in the text. Preach the text, Brent. Watch what Jesus does next in verse 47. He says, "I will not judge those who hear me but don't obey me." Again, that's gotta make your theology go. "I will not judge those who hear me but don't obey me, for I have come to save the world, not to judge it. But all who reject me and my message will be judged on the day of judgment by the truth I have spoken." Now, I read texts like this, and I hear the little voices and all the people say, "Don't judge me. You can't judge me. You have no right to judge me." Right? We used to live in such a weird time. Here's the deal, church. Judgment, actually, the church ought to understand this. The world really needs to hear this message. Judgment has not begun. It has not begun. He tells us one day, he says, right now, I've come to save the world, not to judge the world, but there is a day of judgment that's coming that you'll be judged by the truth that Jesus has spoken. So judgment has not begun. If you feel guilty because of your sin, that is not judgment. That's just conviction that you know you're not living in the light, not judgment. This is why we need to read the Old Testament, so that we see when God is loving, he's incredibly loving. But then whenever he is in judgment mode, very, very different God. Very, very, we don't even know what judgment is. "You just don't approve of me, so you're judging me." Oh, shut up. "I don't approve of you. I don't, oh, Lord." There's a reason that it snowed today. There's a snowflake reference there. Yeah, Brent, stay on task here. I'm just digging a deep hole. Gone from preaching to meddling. Jesus has come now. Jesus is available now to call you out of the darkness and into his, what Peter says, his marvelous light. Jesus has come now to save you. I promise you, it is not to judge you today. It is to save you and to pull you out of the darkness and into his light. But Jesus is also warning us in this text. It's very important that I point this out. There is no excuse for us to not know what is about to happen. Jesus says, today I've come not to judge you, but to save you. But there is a day of judgment coming. Church, we've gone soft. Well, just try really hard and, you know, hopefully you make it. Sweetheart, there is a day of judgment coming where we will stand before God. And those in the dark don't come out then. No amens. There's a day of judgment coming. The day that all those who remained in the dark will be judged by the truth that Jesus has spoken to us already. Judgment is coming for all of us. Hopefully you've put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and you live in the light. If you haven't, you're not going to get to stand before God and say, you shouldn't judge me. Central to this case is that God is God, not you. So we don't get to stand before God on judgment day and say, well, I didn't know. No, not an excuse. You don't get to stand before God on judgment day and say, well, you can't judge me. He's God. He absolutely does judge you. Jesus is pleading. John, I really do believe that John is taking a story, a teaching of Jesus, and he's put it very carefully, strategically into the Gospel of John to plead with you and I, to plead with those who are moderate Christians. We see who Jesus is, but we're careful about showing it. He's pleading with us, don't remain in the dark. Jesus didn't come and stay in the dark. As followers of Christ, don't remain in the dark. Jesus called us out of the darkness to live in the light, to live a life of obedience to him. Tyler Van Riper was here a couple weeks ago, and he was telling stories about doing missionary work in Northern Africa. And a lot of young men come to Jesus. And whenever they come to Jesus, they get kicked out of their families, and they often lose their jobs. It's not just that the state says you can't be a Christian. That's actually not true. It's that the society puts pressure on people to not be Christians. So these young men, they become believers, and then they lose their jobs. Anybody ever lost a job over being a believer? Probably very few of us. Maybe a few, but very few. In that culture, if you were going to hide your Christianity, that would be the place to do it. I mean, if you're going to lose your livelihood over being a Christian, yet you have these young men who come out and say, I am a believer, I'm not going to deny it. I'm not going to deny it for my family. I'm not going to deny it for my job. That messes with the American dream, doesn't it? Well, we have to be providers for our family, Brent, so if we have to deny Jesus to provide for our family, that's what we got to do. You're going to lead your family right to the altar of materialism and show them how to bow down. And then whenever your children live like heathens, you'll say, why didn't they serve God? Well, because you didn't model it. That wasn't in my notes either. Jesus wasn't free. You just owe more in the offering. That we have locked up safely now. I'm kidding. Jesus called us out of the darkness to live in the light, to live a life of obedience to him. We overtly watch this. Now, if you think I've stepped on your toes so far, you should put your fingers in your ears. We overtly, outwardly love others who are unlovable. Because while I'm going through this, I'm thinking, okay, God, you've called us out of the darkness. How does it look to live in the light? What's the practical application of this? Do we need to all buy t-shirts that say, I'm a believer? That would be a good song, huh? No. He tells us, he gives us instructions that when we live in the light, we overtly love people who are unlovable. We overtly forgive people who are unforgivable. That's what separates us from the darkness. See, those that live in the dark, they can be like, hey, listen, you give me $100, I'll forgive you. That's not Christianity. Christianity is, you are a dirty dog rat and you deserve to die, but I'll forgive you. It's incredible. We overtly give grace to those who do not deserve it. And you know I'm talking about those people that drive like wackos, right? I'm kidding about that. We give grace to people that don't deserve it. Like Brent, you know they're going to squander anything we do for them or give to them, and they just don't deserve grace. And so why would you give them grace? Because we received grace when we did not deserve grace. That's why. When we live in the light, we act like the light. The light loves the unlovable, forgives the unforgivable, and gives grace to those that don't deserve grace at all. There's a whole bunch more, but that gets us started. What other way will we reach people with the life-giving message of Jesus if we do not overtly live the light in front of them? We say every Sunday morning that we're going to, Desert Heights exists to reach people with the life-giving message of Jesus. Brent, did you share the gospel this week? I'm not Desert Heights. Did the sermon get on the radio? Because we got to know that we were reaching people with the life-giving message of Jesus. It's not about the radio. You know where I'm going? It's about you. You guys are the little lights that go out there and shine in the darkness. We can make a better case that I live in an ivory tower where, for the most part, we're all Christians. I think. I know Diane. I'm pretty confident Diane and Thomas are, myself. We're just believing in grace. Yeah. We have to get out there and live the light in the dark. If we don't live the light in the dark, we'll never reach people with the life-giving message of Jesus. John's message to us is don't remain in the dark. Let your light shine. The last two verses, here we go, verse 49. He says, I don't speak on my own authority. Jesus is speaking still. I love this because you realize Jesus comes as the Son of God. One of my kids, I think it was Brendan, I don't know, long, 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 long time ago, he told one of the Sunday school teachers, I can fire you because my dad's the pastor. That's our understanding of authority, right? Jesus, the Son of God, comes. Hopefully, whichever child it was outgrew that, I hope. That's your perspective of dad, though, right? My dad can do anything. I'm the son of the one in authority. Jesus comes as the son of the one in authority. He has every right to be the one who speaks, yet, watch what he does. He says, I don't speak on my own authority. Jesus humbles himself. Even Jesus doesn't stand before the throne of God and say, I'm God, I can do whatever I want. Nope. I don't speak on my own authority. The Father who sent me has commanded me what to say, and this is the clincher, and even how to say it. Well, God's a control freak. Therefore, he's God. Some of you, the light bulb just flickered a little bit. Oh, God's in control. Oh, that's why they call him God. Yeah, Jesus comes along. I don't speak by my own authority. The Father who sent me has commanded me what to say and even how to say it. And I know his commands. Here's Jesus. I think that here we see his heart. And I know his commands lead to eternal life. That's just good wisdom. If you know that the instruction of your Father leads you to good things, then you should follow those things. As opposed to saying, well, I'm just not doing whatever you say. That makes you a dummy. It's a Greek word for means you don't have any brains. Actually, in this context, all joking aside, it means you're blind. You can't even see. You can't even see the light that's in front of you. You're so blind, you can't see the truth. You can't see the light. You can't see the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you what, that ought to crush our hearts. It doesn't make us arrogant. It makes us humble. He says, and I know this command leads to eternal life, so I say whatever the Father tells me to say. Jesus himself trusted in the commands of the Father. Jesus does not promote his own agenda or desires. Jesus says only what the Father tells him to say, and he also tells him how to say it. Jesus submits to the authority of God the Father. And why does Jesus surrender his will to the will of the Father? Why would Jesus surrender his will to the will of the Father? Jesus holds humanity in his hands and he says, Father, instead of me doing what I want to do with these people, I'm going to surrender to your will. Because Jesus knows that the commands of the Father lead to eternal life. We can trust that because Jesus trusted that. So it only makes sense for us to do and to say what the Father desires. That's why we get into God's word and say, Lord, make me more like Jesus, because if I'm more like Brent, I'm going to mess this up. This morning while we're singing, I'm praying, Lord, you know I got to get out of the way of this text this morning because I'm going to mess it all up. Some of us will hear the message of eternal life, maybe even be intrigued by it, but then out of fear of what others may think of us, we will continue to live in the dark. Even though we know that there's a truth out there, even though that we know that there's a light out there, we will remain in the dark because we like the dark. We'll continue to act like the dark. We'll continue to think like the dark. I want to encourage all of us this morning, don't remain in the dark. Live with all of the Holy Spirit and the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and God himself, live in the light and let the light of Jesus shine through you. Jesus didn't come to be put under a bushel. He came to shine in the darkness because the darkness needs the Lord Jesus Christ. We are the messengers. We are the vessels that have the Lord Jesus Christ so that we can go into the darkness and shine the Lord Jesus Christ so that they have an opportunity to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They have the opportunity to come out of the darkness and live in the light. That's why Jesus came to shine, so that you and I can shine. Don't remain in the darkness. Let's stand together. We're going to bow our heads and pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for... thank you for your mercy and your grace in our lives. We thank you that your Holy Spirit works in our hearts to draw us to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, that you turn the light on in our hearts, in our minds, in our souls, so that we can cry out to you and we can put our trust in you and we can believe in you, and that you draw us out of the darkness into your wonderful light. Father, first of all, I pray that you be glorified in our lives. If we're being believers who live in the darkness, Father, I pray that you convict us to the very depths of our soul when we hide our Christianity. I pray that your Holy Spirit will push us out of the darkness and into the light so that we can shine your light to other people so that they'll have the opportunity to know you. Father, work in us first and foremost. Father, I pray that as we live in the dark world, that you will also help us to see those who are in the darkness as people who need the light. Not people who are an inconvenience to our lives, but people who desperately need to know their Lord and Savior. Lord, give us a heart that is turned toward you, but loves those people that are in the darkness. Help us to grab a hold of them and pull them from the darkness. Help us to shine a light in their lives. Father, we pray that you would use us as your vessels to reveal the kingdom of God to those who cannot see you. Lord, let us be Jesus to those that don't know you. Let us be the light. Father, shine through us. Help us to reach this community for the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that as you are present in our lives and your light illuminates around us, Father, I pray that you will make it difficult for people to stay in the darkness in San Juan County. God, I pray that you would be glorified in your people, that the world would see us shining your glory. Father, we just...
You've been listening to the Desert Heights Church weekly message. We meet on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. on Main Street in Farmington, New Mexico. If you'd like more information, please visit our website at desertheightschurch.com.